Chapter 2. He looked up with a sudden smile. Did you ever play Northwest Passage with me?
No, of course you didn't come my way. It was the sort of game, he went on, that every imaginative child plays all day. The idea was the discovery of a Northwest Passage to school. The way to school was plain enough. The game consisted in finding some way that wasn't plain, starting off 10 minutes early in some almost hopeless direction, and working one's way round through unaccustomed streets to my goal. And one day I got entangled among some rather low-class streets on the other side of Campden Hill, and I began to think that for once the game would be against me, and that I should get to school late. I tried rather desperately a street that seemed a cul-de-sac, and found a passage at the end. I hurried through that with renewed hope. I shall do it yet, apostrophe I said, and passed a row of frosty little shops that were inexplicably familiar to me, and behold, there was my long white wall and the green door that led to the enchanted garden. The thing whacked upon me suddenly. Then, after all, that garden, that wonderful garden, wasn't a dream. He paused. I suppose my second experience with the green door marks the world of difference there is between the busy life of a schoolboy and the infinite leisure of a child. Anyhow, the second time I didn't for a moment think of going in straight away. You see, for one thing, my mind was full of the idea of getting to school in time set on not breaking my record for punctuality. I must surely have felt some little desire at least to try the door. Yes, I must have felt that, but I seem to remember the attraction of the door mainly as another obstacle to my overmastering determination to get to school. I was immediately interested by this discovery I had made. Of course, I went on with my mind full of it, but I went on. It didn't check me. I ran past tugging out my watch, found I had 10 minutes still to spare, and then I was going downhill into familiar surroundings. I got to school, breathless, it is true, and wet with perspiration, but in time. I can remember hanging up my coat and hat, went right by it, and left it behind me. Odd, eh? He looked at me thoughtfully. Of course, I didn't know then that it wouldn't always be there. Schoolboys have limited imaginations. I suppose I thought it was an awfully jolly thing to have it there, to know my way back to it, but there was the school tugging at me. I expect I was a good deal distraught and inattentive that morning, recalling what I could of the beautiful strange people I should presently see again. Oddly enough, I had no doubt in my mind that they would be glad to see me. Yes, I must have thought of the garden that morning just as a jolly sort of place to which one might resort in the interludes of a strenuous scholastic career. I didn't go that day at all. The next day was a half-holiday, and that may have weighed with me. Perhaps, too, my state of inattention brought down impositions upon me, and docked the margin of time necessary for the detour. I don't know. What I do know is that in the meantime the enchanted garden was so much upon my mind that I could not keep it to myself. I told what was his name? A ferrety-looking youngster we used to call Squiff. Young Hopkins, said I. Hopkins it was. I did not like telling him. I had a feeling that in some way it was against the rules to tell him, but I did. He was walking part of the way home with me. He was talkative, and if we had not talked about the enchanted garden we should have talked of something else, and it was intolerable to me to think about any other subject. So I blabbed. Well, he told my secret. The next day in the play interval I found myself surrounded by half a dozen bigger boys, half teasing and wholly curious, to hear more of the enchanted garden. There was that big Fawcett, you remember him? And Carnaby and Morley Reynolds. You weren't there by any chance? No, I think I should have remembered, if you were. A boy is a creature of odd feelings. I was, I really believe, in spite of my secret self-disgust, a little flattered to have the attention of these big fellows. I remember particularly a moment of pleasure caused by the praise of Crawshaw. You remember Crawshaw Major, the son of Crawshaw the composer? Who said it was the best lie he had ever heard. But at the same time there was a really painful undertow of shame at telling what I felt was indeed a sacred secret. That beast Fawcett made a joke about the girl in green, Wallace's voice sang with the keen memory of that shame. Pretended not to hear, he said. Then Carnaby suddenly called me a young liar and disputed with me, when I said the thing was true. I said I knew where to find the green door, could lead them all there in 10 minutes. Carnaby became outrageously virtuous, and said I'd have to and bear out my words or suffer. Did you ever have Carnaby twist your arm? Then perhaps you'll understand how it went with me. I swore my story was true. There was nobody in the school then to save a chap from Carnaby, though Crawshaw put in a word or so. Carnaby had got his game. I grew excited and red-eared, and a little frightened. I behaved altogether like a silly little chap, and the outcome of it all was that instead of starting alone for my enchanted garden, I led the way presently cheeks flushed, ears hot, eyes smarting, and my soul one burning misery and shame for a party of 6 mocking, curious, and threatening schoolfellows. We never found the white wall, and the green door, you mean? I mean I couldn't find it. I would have found it if I could. And afterwards when I could go alone I couldn't find it. I never found it. I seem now to have been always looking for it through my schoolboy days, but I've never come upon it again. Did the fellows make it disagreeable? Beastly Carnaby held a council over me for wanton lying. I remember how I sneaked home and upstairs to hide the marks of my blubbering. But when I cried myself to sleep at last it wasn't for Carnaby, but for the garden, for the beautiful afternoon I had hoped for the sweet friendly women and the waiting playfellows, and the game I had hoped to learn again, that beautiful forgotten game. I believed firmly that, if I had not told I had bad times after that, crying at night and wool gathering by day. For 2 terms I slackened, and had bad reports. Do you remember? Of course you would. It was you here beating me in mathematics that brought me back to the grind again. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.